Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
After multiple attempts to kill him, he still makes this great proclamation of like, look, if I could trade places with you guys, I would. Paul, these dudes have tried to kill you your whole Christian life. He's like, I know, but I love them so much. I care about them. I'm like, you? It's like, man, here's Apostle Paul, and here's James Grizzle is like dirt, man, when it comes to that type of stuff. I'm just like, what a heart, man. But I want that heart. Because you know what that heart represents? It represents the love of God, the agape love of God.
When someone mistreats you, what do? Do you write them off, avoid them, shame them on social media? In our modern culture, it doesn't seem to take much to turn someone into an enemy. But as believers, we're called to rise above this natural and yet sinful response. As Pastor James will point out, Paul demonstrated the love of God in a way that we should aspire to. Despite facing persecution and even attempts on his freedom and life, he loved the Jews, who had made themselves his enemy. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 22 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
He already picked you. Before the foundations of the world, he picked you. You should be comforted by that because you know your story. Because you know your story. I wouldn't have picked me, but he did. You may be thinking, if you're watching online or sitting in here or you're going to listen to this on the radio one day, you might be thinking, there's no way God wants me. And I would say, he just may have picked you from the very beginning. And he's just waiting for you to catch up and to surrender and to receive the simple fact that he chose you from long ago. He's already chosen you. He wants you to know his will, to know his will, to see the righteous one. Who's the righteous one? That's Jesus. He wants you to see his son and to hear a command from his mouth. God still speaks to us. And I would hope and I would pray that you hear his voice even today. This mission that he has the Apostle Paul on is the same one that he put all of his disciples on at the end of Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. It's the same thing for the Apostle Paul. That's where he says, because you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now that you are, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, this is a strange verse because people like to take this and think like baptism equals salvation. Baptism doesn't equal salvation, okay? Let me tell you that. That's not scriptural, okay? Should you be baptized? Yes. Absolutely, yes. Be baptized. Why? Because it's a public proclamation that you are, that the old you has been buried, the new you has been raised to life, and you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why we get baptized. It doesn't cover your sins. Only the blood of Christ covers your sins. And you only have that by surrendering your life to Jesus. It's that simple. It is that simple. Sometimes the way that we structure some of these sentences, it doesn't help that. This sentence technically should be, get up and get baptized, and then have your sins washed away by calling on his name. Basically, it's calling on his name. It's receiving that free gift of salvation. That's what cleanses us from our sins. So Ananias is like, Paul, get up, dude. It's time to get baptized. You call on the name of the Lord, man. He's going to clean you up. And it's time to get on, because he's already called you onto the mission field. That's another beautiful thing about the Lord. He knows what he's getting, and he already has a plan in place for your life even before you surrender to him. He's not waiting for you to like sign a contract with him, and then he can evaluate your skills and say like, okay, so where can I use so-and-so today? He already has a plan for you from long ago, before you were even born. He's just waiting for us to catch up and to actually surrender, because that's the key. Don't think that everyone gets saved, because they don't. They don't. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. And you have to do that here and now on this planet. I know that there's this thought that's out there, and it kind of has its ebbs and flows throughout time. And a few years ago, it was on a peak where we want to do away with the concept of hell, right? And, well, is Jesus really even talking about hell and all that stuff? I'm like, well, he talked more about that than anything else. I mean, come on, I don't know. But is there really a separate, eternal separation from God forever, for all eternity? Yeah, there is. There is. And it's a sad reality. And it's even sadder when you realize how many opportunities people reject and deny Jesus and basically step over the body of Christ to get to that place. Because the Lord, he's not to blame for hell. He's not. He's provided so many ways, so many opportunities for people to receive this free gift of salvation. That's what it is. But there have been some, and there always will be some who just flat out reject it and flat out just, they don't want anything to do with him. And we talked about this before, especially, you know, having gone through Revelation, there is a cup of wrath that has to be consumed. Either you drink it or you align yourself with the one who has already drank it for you, and his name is Jesus. But if you don't want his, then it's left for you to drink. And that'll be all eternity. I would rather take what Jesus has already done for me. He already took, drank of that cup of wrath and suffering for me and all my sins. I'll take that. I'll take that any day. Paul's got a mission. He's got a calling. Get up, get baptized. Let's get moving. Let's get going. And I would say the same thing to the church in 2021. Let's get going. What are we waiting for? The world's ending. Well, of course it is. Get busy. Like, tell people about Jesus. Like, now's the time. But our government, who cares? Who cares? Let them make it harder. Fine. We still have a job to do. If you don't like it, talk to our brothers and sisters in Iran. Talk to our brothers and sisters in China. Talk to our brothers and sisters in a lot of these Muslim-controlled countries where to do this is highly illegal. And here we are in America, and we're just sitting on our hands. You know, it's like, no, 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 get to work. Go. You have the chance. We have the freedom. They haven't taken that away yet. And if they do, then so be it. So be it. We're all part of a great commission. Go and tell people about Jesus. Go make some disciples. Make some disciples. That's what Paul was going to do, man. He was like, gung-ho, like, I'm on it. You know, and he's like, there's no stopping me now. Like, he's like, I'm just going until the very end. The very end for him was they were going to remove his head from his body. And he knew that. He's like, I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to go for Jesus. He goes on to say, when I returned to Jerusalem, this is his first, you know, coming back to Jerusalem after salvation, and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. What does that mean? I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe he's like a kind of like a vision type of thing. Have I fallen into trances? I spent most of my high school years in a trance, but it wasn't like a spiritual thing or a godly thing. It just wasn't. It was more of just like, why am I here? Why am I locked in this building? Like, how did I end up in jail, right? Because that's what school was like for me. You may love school. Hey, praise God for you. I'm an outdoorsy type person. I cannot learn in a classroom, okay? So I just zoned out for most of my high school and probably junior high experience, okay? Paul falls into a trance. He's praying. He's got like, yeah, this is a spiritual thing. He says, and I saw the Lord saying to me, hurry and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. I replied, Lord, they themselves know that I am in prison and beat those in the various synagogues who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was shed, I myself was standing nearby approving, or you might be able to change that word to applauding, maybe, approving and guarding the cloaks of those who were killing him, who were actively murdering Stephen. The Apostle Paul is standing right there holding their jackets, looking on as they're hurling stones on this innocent man who's just standing there looking up to heaven and says, I see the Son. I see Jesus seating at the right hand of the Father. And he looked like an angel. Paul was right there. He was applauding it. If he wasn't holding the coats, then he was handing them rocks to throw at them. Then Jesus says to Paul in this trance, this vision that he's having, then he said to me, go, because I will send you far away to the Gentiles. That's where he loses them. Because they're hanging on every word up until this point. They're like, oh my goodness. That's right. Yeah, no, we've heard. We know who you are, Saul. We heard the stories. There was none more passionate. There was none more zealous than you. We've all heard the stories. What happened to Saul? Whatever happened to Saul? You remember that guy who's kicking down all those church doors and dragging out those men and women? He was beating them and throwing them in jail. Whatever happened to that guy? Paul's like, well, I'm that guy, but I'm not that guy. And here's why I'm not that guy anymore. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. And then when I showed up back in town, the first thing you guys were trying to do to me was kill me. You wanted me dead because I'm not Saul anymore, because I'm Paul. Even from day one, they wanted him dead. It's no coincidence that a group of Jews were following him around on each and every missionary journey, stopping off in every town that Paul went to cause trouble and to stir up all this nonsense, because they were making sure that all the other Jews knew that Paul is a deceiver, he's a liar, and he's teaching you false things. He's teaching you to hate the law and to hate Moses. From day one, they were gunning for Paul. Jesus communicated to Paul, and this is Paul sharing. He's like, look, man, I showed up back in Jerusalem after this moment, and you guys wanted me dead, and I had to flee. But I was fleeing you because God had a bigger plan in my life. Paul wasn't called to the Jews. He was called to the Gentiles. Peter was called to the Jews. Paul wanted that, but that's not what God wanted for him. Paul wanted to be the missionary for the Jews, but that's not God's plan for his life. Good advice for us. There may be some things that you want. I want to be the one to go to that person. I want to be the one used by God to reach those people. And God may be saying, yeah, but that's not my plan. That's not my plan. Here's what's amazing about that. Just because it may not be his plan for you doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan. Because see, Paul wanted to go to the Jews, and God's like, I don't want you to go to the Jews. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about the Jews, but it's that God already had a plan, and he had Peter, that he was going to send Peter to the Jews. And then Paul was going to be used to reach these other guys. So don't be discouraged. If you got like this passion and I want to go for these people and all this stuff and it's just not working out, maybe God doesn't want to use you there. Maybe he already has somebody else lined up and you're just in the way. So maybe you need to move on and figure out who it is that the Lord is sending you to go and minister to, so that the other person he's already raised up and established can step in and minister to those people that you care so dearly about. Sometimes the biggest obstacles in this Christian life are ourselves. Here's Paul, tremendous heart for the Jews. I'll always reference the end of Romans where Paul's like, look, if I could trade in my salvation for you guys, then I would do that. If I could go to hell so that you could go to heaven, I would do that. that's like, whoa, I just don't know if I could say that. No, in fact, let me be honest. I couldn't say that. There's no way. There's no way. And this chapter alone just magnifies who Paul was talking about when he made that statement. These are the same guys who now on the, not even the second occasion, but after multiple attempts to kill him, he still makes this great proclamation of like, look, if I could trade places with you guys, I would. Paul, these dudes have tried to kill you your whole Christian life. He's like, I know, but I love them so much. I care about them. I'm like, you... It's like, man, here's Apostle Paul, and here's James Grizzle is like dirt, man, when it comes to that type of stuff. I'm just like, what a heart, man. But I want that heart. Because you know what that heart represents? It represents the love of God, the agape love of God. And it truly is what we all should demonstrate within our lives. Agape is just it's a Greek word for love that means self-sacrificing love, putting others before yourself. It's a simple, it's a beautiful word. Paul lived it. My prayer for myself is that I would live that. Because I want to be like Paul on that same level where I'd be like, man, Lord, my heart breaks My heart breaks for these people. This sets off a riot, and this last little part just reads pretty quickly. It says this, the crowd was listening to him until he said this, right? The Gentiles, you lost them at Gentiles, because according to the Jews, the Gentiles were not on the same level. They basically, I mean, you got the Jews chosen by God, and the Gentiles kind of on the same level as dogs, okay? Now, you may elevate dogs up here, but I'm just, in a worldly sense, like Gentiles are just, they're not on the same level. They're not, they're, what was somebody's thought was common saying back then was that Gentiles were basically around to fuel the fires of hell. That's all they're good for. You know, that was kind of the prevailing thought back then. So sad. It's crazy. But this is, you know why he lost them at that statement. It says, then they raised their voices and shouted, away with this man. From the earth, not just from our sight, but kill this guy. For he should not be allowed to live. Verse 23, while they were screaming and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust in the air, the commanding officer ordered Paul to be brought back into the barracks. He told them, his other soldiers, he told them to interrogate Paul by how? By beating him. Okay, we'll get an answer out of this guy. Beating him with a lash so he could find out the reason the crowd was shouting at Paul in this way. Because remember, he doesn't speak Aramaic, so he doesn't know what's going on. It says when they stretched him out for the lash, that's where they would stretch him out over like a stump. You know, kind of like they did with Jesus. They would stretch him out, fully exposing their back. And so that when they beat them, the skin would tear a little easier because you're stretched out. Okay? So they're stretching this dude out, the Apostle Paul, getting ready to, you know, they're cracking the whip and doing all that good stuff. Paul said to the centurion standing by, he's like, hey, one quick question. Before you go to town on me, is this legal? Is it legal for you to lash a man who is a Roman citizen without a proper trial? See, Paul knows the law, and Paul's like, actually, it's a rhetorical question. Because the answer is, no, it's not legal. Paul knew his rights as a Roman citizen. And those are rights given to all Roman citizens, whether you're born, whether you bought it, it doesn't matter. You're a Roman citizen, you have certain rights, and you have the right to call upon those rights at the right time. He's like, you're about to strip the flesh off my back. Oh, excuse me, but I'm a Roman citizen. Is this right for you guys to do this? Well, don't answer because I know it's not. This guy freaks out, right? The centurion who heard this, verse 26, he went to the commanding officer and reported it, saying, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the commanding officer came and asked Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? He answered, or he replied, yes. The commanding officer answered, I acquired the citizenship with a large sum of money because it did cost quite a bit to become a citizen there. Paul says, but I was even born a citizen. He's like, oh, I got one up on you, buddy. It's in my blood. I was born a citizen. You may have bought yours. That's cute, that's cool, that's fine. I was born a Roman citizen. And then the stomach of that dude just drops, right? He's just like, ooh, this is not good for my job, my future here. He says, I was born a citizen. Verse 29, then those who were about to interrogate him stayed away from him, and the commanding officer was frightened when he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had tied him up. Why? Because he would lose his job. If you unjustly or illegally beat a Roman citizen with no proper trial, then you get punished for it. Your punishment could be losing your job. Your punishment could be receiving the punishment that you dished out. Or your punishment could be your life. So just to read into this last little section here, 30, the next day. So they're like, okay, I need to think, right? This is what this guy says. Because the commanding officer wanted to know the true reason Paul is being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and the whole council to assemble. Then he brought Paul down and had sat him before them. So we're not going to get into 23, obviously, but here's the scenario. The Roman centurion doesn't know who he's dealing with, ties him up, all this good stuff. Delegates it out to these other guys to beat him, to get an answer out of him, find out he's a Roman citizen. You can't legally do this to me. I know my rights. And so then there's the Roman centurion, the commanding officer has to now he has to figure out like, okay, this isn't good. Because even to tie up a Roman citizen, that's an illegal act if there hasn't been a trial. To even to tie him up in this position, he's already crossed the line. He's already crossed the line. But here's Paul, who's like, man, I got that Roman citizen card. What did I do with that? Oh, here it is. Boom. And he just drops it. He's like, Roman citizen, I know my rights. You can't do this. And he was well within his rights to play that card. Hey, if you've been given certain rights, which you have, it is well within your right to use that, to absolutely use that. Until they take them away, use them. Until they take them away, use them. You have the right. You have the right to worship however you want to worship. You have the right to own a gun. Yeah, it's Texas. We're like, oh yeah, we all have guns. Not on me. You have the right. Know your rights. Here's the problem. Too many people don't know what the rights are. Know your rights. Praise God that Paul had a good understanding of what his rights were, and he could vocalize those at the right time. Familiarize yourself with where you live and know what rights have been freely given to you and know when to stand for those things. Pick your battles, though. Pick your battles, okay? But you have the right to worship. So worship. So worship. Do it safely. Do it smartly. We talk about this all the time. You're probably getting sick of me saying it. That's cool. That's fine. But you have certain rights that have been given to you that people died for. Respect that. Honor that. Know your rights, though. And when they're laying you out, getting ready to beat you down, know when the right time to play that card is and be like, excuse me, you can't do this to me because it's written in this little piece of paper right over here that we've long forgotten. Just know, just be aware. Be aware and feel free to stand up for what the things that you have the right to stand up for. I love the Apostle Paul because he's just like, he's done that multiple times throughout the book of Acts. He knows how to play the card at the right time. Now, you also can know if you go through his life, he's not dropping it everywhere he goes. So calm down, okay? Calm down. He's not, you know, promoting it everywhere he goes on. It's just when it's necessary. It's when it's necessary. His goal was he was going to stay focused on the righteous one. He knew, he understood, he comprehended what God's will was for his life. He was going to stay focused on the Lord, and he heard the command from God, and he went on that mission, and he was going to utilize whatever God had blessed him with, whatever rights God had blessed him with, because he had no control over that, and he was going to use those at the right, appropriate time in order to gain more audiences. Because this little incident is going to gain him another audience, and then that's going to go away, and then he's going to get another audience, and then that's going to develop into a bigger audience. Paul just is like, I'm focused on the Lord, I'm on a mission, and I'm going to cross that finish line, period. And I'll use whatever I have to get there. It's the same for you and I today. Be smart, wise as serpents, gentle as doves, but just stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on him. Don't get sideways on me. Not get sideways on me. Stay focused on Jesus and run your race.
Hope, the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
That's all we have time for today at Bread for the Broken, but we're so glad that you joined us as Pastor James continues through the book of Acts. This book is a powerful representation of how the church first began. It contains a variety of snapshots into effective ways of sharing the gospel. Some apostles shared in large groups, while others taught in more intimate settings. Some taught the gospel through words, and others shared through signs and wonders. Do you wrestle with sharing who Jesus is? Be encouraged. As long as you're teaching the hope and truth of Jesus, there is no wrong way. If you'd like prayer in this area, we would love to pray for you. Visit breadforthebroken.com, click on the contact tab, and let us know how we can be praying. If you'd like to listen to more teachings like this, you can find them too when you visit breadforthebroken.com. Just click on the teachings tab. You'll also be able to learn more about Calvary Galveston at our website, as well as find directions to our location. Calvary Galveston is a church of ordinary people seeking to live as Jesus did. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So if you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to meet you. Our atmosphere is relaxed, so just come as you are. You can find out more and get directions on our website. Again, that's breadforthebroken.com. Thanks for listening to Pastor James's teaching today. Know that we're praying for you, and we hope you'll join us to continue digging into the book of Acts next time on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you.